title, if you want a title for our thoughts this morning as we go into our thoughts, would be a demonstration of love. Demonstration of love. If I were to ask you what you felt the world's greatest need was today, I suppose, first of all, we get quite a few individual answers. We get different things. But I would imagine some of you, maybe a few of you, may have responded by singing the words of a song which some of you might know. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not it's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone. You never have enough love shown in our world, and unfortunately at the moment we probably see very, very little of it at times. But if we were to search through scriptures to find a place in scripture where Jesus said to his disciples or to the people he was ministering to, I love you, we would look in vain. We could spend the rest of the day and much longer because we wouldn't find it. We would be searching in vain because those words are not there. He never says to his disciples, I love you, or to the people he's ministering to, I love you. But Jesus was the world's greatest love. And yet he told of his love not by saying it, but by demonstrating it through his life. And over the past few weeks, I'm sure this church, as many churches, have been making that journey once again. And this morning we had our Lent reading and reaching to the place of Calvary. But we've been traveling that journey again. And I hope this journey through Lent has helped you journey to the place where Jesus will show and demonstrate the greatest love of all, where he was prepared to give his life, to give up his life, to suffer and die at the cross of Calvary, to demonstrate love in a very, very practical way to you and to me. So this morning we're going to see in a small way how he demonstrated that love through our Bible reading, Matthew 20, 29 to 34. If you do have Bibles with you and you want to open them to that page and just follow through, that would be fine. So Matthew 20, 29 to 34. Story, again, familiar with. We would have looked at this story many, many times, I'm sure, in our lives. This morning, I want us to journey through verse by verse and see what it teaches us as we do that. Verse 29, and as they departed, behold, two blind men. As he departed, he was leaving where he was and going on to somewhere else. But time and time again in Scripture, we see Jesus being led to the individuals or teaching about the individuals through parables. It was one lost coin. It was one lost sheep. It was one lost son. In the stories of his teaching and his healing, we read it was the woman who pushed through the crowd to get to the hem of our Savior. It was the centurion who went on behalf of his servant that he might get healing. It was a rich young ruler. It was a religious leader whose daughter was ill. And time again, we see Jesus dealing with the individual, speaking to the individual, bringing healing to the individual. Yes, there's places for the trawlers when they go out fishing. There's room for the trawlers who go out and gather in great numbers. I was listening to the story of Reinhard Bonnke this week, and he was talking about the sizes of crowds that he's preached to. And he said to the interviewer, I think I've biggest crowd I've ever preached to was 1.6 million people in one area. So that was Ron Hyde, and he said at the end of that, 1 million of those people had filled in cards of recognition of Jesus as their saviour. So 1.6 million. I've never preached in front of 1.6 million people, and I doubt I ever will now. There's Billy Graham's crusades, and some of you may have been at the Ipswich Crusade many, many years ago, and many people gave their lives to Jesus through the Billy Graham. So there's room for those great crusades that reach out to hundreds of thousands and millions in some cases. But most of us are going to be anglers. We're not going to be trawler men. We're going to be anglers. We're going to reach out to people, one person at a time. The person that we come in contact with, wherever we find ourselves. Yeah, okay, the trawler men do their work. The Billy Grahams of past and Reinhard Bonnke, they do their bit. They do huge work, great work. But your work will be like an angler. Reaching the ones, reaching the twos at each time. So as they departed, behold, two blind men. The second thing I think we learn from this passage is that we need to listen intently to the needs of others. Verse 30 speaks of that. They cried out. They're sitting by the side of the road. This huge crowd is coming past, and they cried out. The crowds would have shut them up if they'd have got the chance. They shouted, "Shut up. Be quiet. We're listening to the teacher. He doesn't want to hear you crying out as we're trying to listen to hear what he's got to say." The crowds would, if they got the chance to, have cried out to shut them up. You know, the wonderful thing is, Jesus heard their cries. Jesus heard their cries. You see, people are still crying out today. People are still crying out today. The cries of possibly street children on the streets of Brazilian towns or Mumbai in India or 100 other cities around the world. Street children are crying out to be heard. There's the cries of the hungry and suffering in Mozambique. How quickly that has gone off our television screens. But the people of Mozambique are still crying out for help. Or the cries of the war-weary in Syria or Sudan. There's still the cries of the hurting caught up in human trafficking or modern-day slavery. They're still crying out to be freed from the terrible plight they found themselves in. There's the cries of the lonely in housing estates in Haverhill and many, many other towns and villages around our area. There's the cries of the bullied in the playground in our local schools. There's the despairing cries of mothers sitting at the bedsides of dying relatives and loved ones because they're dying through illness or drug overdoses. The cries of the people around about are still there, and the crowds will still try to shut them up and drown them out and pretend they can't hear them. But we must listen. We must listen. We must hear. We must hear. We must have ears to hear and hearts to respond to those cries that people are making in our world today. The crowd would have tried to shut them out, but Jesus heard the cries of the hurting people and the suffering people. The next point I take from this is that we must take time to be present in those situations. Verse 32, and Jesus stood still. It was likely that he was teaching at the time. Often there were travelers, the teachers traveling along, and the crowds traveled by, and the teacher would be teaching, saying words and nuggets that people would hang on to. And he was probably doing that at the same time as this. But Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped walking and stopped talking because people are more important than words. It's important to teach men about the gospel of Jesus. It's important to share the gospel. It's important to share our testimony of how the Lord has changed our lives. To tell people, once we were like this, but Jesus came into our lives and now we are this person. It's important to do that. But it's more important, I think, to listen to people. To listen to people and then to try to help them. Again, I believe the crowd would have tried to sweep him along. You know, he's got places to go. He wants to move on to the next village. And I think the crowd would have tried to push him past these two people sitting by the side of the road. But Jesus stopped. He stood still. You know, we all live busy lives. I'm sure each and every one of us do. And the temptation is to rush around, often in the name of Jesus and his work. But there are times when we need to stand still. And there are times when we just need to be there. To be there. I love the story, and we mentioned them just earlier in our thoughts. The time when a ruler came and asked Jesus to lay hands on his daughter. Now that meant a journey. And they were journeying through the crowds again. And while he was on the way, you know the story well. While he was on the way, a woman pushed through. 12 years of seeing doctors and illness, she pushed through, believing that if she touched the hem of his garment, she would be healed. And Jesus stopped going where he was going. That doesn't mean that the religious leader's daughter was any less important. But at this moment in time, he needed to be available for this woman. And she was healed. I pray that all of us here, but every Christian, may have the spirit of interruptibility. It's so easy that when we see somebody who possibly just wants to share something of their lives with us, to say a quick hello, how are you, and be on our way. Because we've got important things to do. We've got important things that we need to get done. But do you know, I believe there's also time that when we not need to stop and listen to that person and hear that person and possibly meet the need of that person. I pray that we may all have the spirit of interruptibility, that even in the busyness of our lives, we will have time for the individual and to share something of our life, something of our experience with them. We move on, verse 32. We need to determine the needs of others. What do you want me to do for you? I think Jesus knew fully well what they needed. He was aware. He was aware of what their need was. What do you want me to do for you? But what Jesus wanted to do was for them to verbally recognize that need. Perhaps we need to ask rather than presume what people need at some points in our Christian ministry. We must beware of spiritualizing where the need is very simple and very practical. Yes, they do need to hear about Jesus, but sometimes perhaps they've got deeper needs that need to be met before then. Verse 34, we need to emphasize with others. And here we come perhaps to the heart of the matter. For Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion. The clue to our whole Savior's life, his whole ministry on earth, the heartbeat of Jesus, his compassion for men and women. He had compassion. And if we have time, and we haven't, and trust me for that, we haven't. But Mark 1, 41 and 42, he was moved with compassion when he saw a leper. And he was prepared to touch that leper and heal that leper. We could go to Matthew 15, verse 32. He was moved with compassion. He felt their need because they had no food to eat. And so he felt their need. Mark 6 and 34, moved with compassion because they seemed like sheep without a shepherd. They were wandering. They didn't know which direction their lives ought to be going. And so he was moved with compassion for them. And just for this morning, Luke 23 and verse 34, even while on the cross of Calvary, even while suffering and dying on that cross, he was full of compassion. He forgave their sins. Father, forgive them. Full of compassion for individuals. And so we must have that same heartbeat in our lives to move through the places we go with the same compassion that Jesus had for the individual. Verse 34, if you're following, touch others where their hurt and need is the greatest. Touch their need where their hurt and need is the greatest. They were blind, and so he touched their eyes and healed them. I can remember, we've got four daughters, many of you will know that. Our youngest daughter coming home, we were in London at the time, and she came home from school, and through the day she'd hurt her hand. And she came home from school. I think I was the one in at the time. Mum was doing other stuff, and I was the one in. And she came in and said, I hurt my hand today, Dad, at school. And as any good dad would do, he took the hand, and he rubbed it, you know, rubbed it, and he kissed it, you know, and he said all the right words. I said, it'll be better now. Rubbed it and kissed it better. And she looked at me as only children can look at you. And she said, it was the other hand. It was the other hand, Dad. But I'd done all the right things, but she didn't need it on that hand. This was the hand that was sore and needed to be rubbed better and kissed better. You see, so often we can presume what somebody needs. And that's not what they need. We need to listen to what they say and then try to help them. You see, I go down to the seaside at Felixstowe. I'm walking along the seafront and I see someone drowning off the pier. Drowning off the pier. There they are. They're flacking away their waves arming. And what do? I pick up my Bible and I throw my Bible at them and say, read a few verses from this. This will help you. At that moment in time, they don't particularly need a Bible. What they need is one of those little life rings that hang on the walls down there. And they need me to practically take that off the thing and throw it out to them or call for help. Do whatever you can do. That man is drowning in water. When he's come to shore, we might open up a page of scripture. No, we wouldn't. No, we would get him to hospital. But you see, we can't throw a Bible to a drowning man. And we can't particularly put a bandage on someone's arm when they've got toothache. It's not what he needs, is it? He needs a tooth taken out or some medicinal whiskey or whatever else you put into a tooth when it's aching sort of thing. You meet their needs. You meet people's needs. Our own founder and a great member of the Methodist Church, you will know him as William Booth, encouraged and exhorted us as Salvationists, but also all Christians, that you can't tell somebody God loves them when they've got cold feet and an empty belly. We can pray the most fervent prayer over somebody. Those spirit-filled prayer over somebody. And we can go away having prayed that fervent prayer and they've still got cold feet and they've still got an empty belly and they still don't believe that there's someone who loves them and cares for them. Meet them at their point of need. Whether that be practical, whether that be spiritual, but meet the need and then show, demonstrate that God loves you because some of your needs have been met. And so, for us this morning, for all of us here this morning, think how people show practical love to you. How do people demonstrate love to you? Is it sending a card when you're poorly? I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. Is it taking a cake round? I've been poorly this week. My sister came round from Colchester and she baked me a cake. Lovely cake it was. Still enjoying it. Did something and just demonstrated, look, I've thought of you and I love you. And I've brought you a cake to enjoy. How do people show their love to you and demonstrate love to you? And my challenge to us all this week, how can we demonstrate love to someone else this week? Wherever we are, whatever we're doing. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is, so are we in the world. As he is, so we are. As he demonstrated his love, as he showed his love in such practical, loving ways. How can you demonstrate the love of Jesus to someone this coming week? You see, if we are the hands, the eyes, and the feet of Jesus, and the story says at the end, Jesus has no plan B. It's you and me or nobody. How can you demonstrate the love of Jesus? Yep. Next week we'll be doing the parade and we'll be traveling down the hill into Jerusalem with the donkey leading the way. And at the end of the week we will see Jesus demonstrating his love for us. Now we may not have to go the far that Jesus went. We may not have to. We may have to, but we may not have to. But we have the responsibility of demonstrating the love of Jesus to others here on earth. We're his ambassadors. And I pray that God will use each and every one of us here this morning as a channel which will flow. A channel, we will be his channels which will flow the love of Jesus to others. And you know, we may not even have to use words. And so my prayer for us is that we may find ways, that God will show us ways that we can demonstrate the love of Jesus to mankind. And if you think that you only show and demonstrate the love of Jesus to one person, I pray that it won't be more, but if you demonstrate it to how many people will be blessed by the love of Jesus just through this congregation this morning. I ask God's blessing upon you. And I pray that he may use you in ways that you may not even begin to understand or even believe that he would use you this coming week.